Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The text we're considering together today is found in verses 40 through 42 of this first chapter of Mark's Gospel. We'll begin reading at verse 29. I remind you that this is God's inspired and inerrant word. Mark chapter 1, beginning at 29. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began to bring him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him. And they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went out into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, do remember us now as we come to your word. We remember your promises, the promises that you've given to those who are in Christ, that you will feed them, even as you give us our daily bread, that you would feed us upon the bread of life. The word of God which you have given us upon even our Savior himself, we pray that you would be pleased now to make yourself known through this word by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We who live in the modern world with all of its medical advances find it difficult, I think, to appreciate what Mark reports that Jesus did in the account that we have before us in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. Leprosy does still exist, but it's not very common any longer. According to the World Health Organization, there are only, I say only, I suppose 180,000 is quite a number, and those who are stricken with this disease certainly recognize its the terribleness of that disease. But in terms of the percentage of the population, very, very few are stricken with the disease of leprosy as I speak today. And I doubt if any of us, maybe some, have seen someone with leprosy, but I've never seen anybody with leprosy. And very few, if any of us, I think, have seen someone who has this disease. In addition, we're far removed from the ancient Jewish social and ceremonial system. We can't relate to the way this disease affected a person's social and religious standing in Israel. We have no concept of what it meant for a Jew to be declared unclean, banished from society, unable to participate in religious assemblies. Too many times, I think, we don't think twice about our fitness for coming into God's presence in worship. The Jew could never have such a casual approach to worshiping God. What's more, some of you may wonder how the story of an ancient leper in Israel and his dealings with Jesus could possibly have anything to do with you. My purpose today is that you would not stand at a distance, disinterested, as an observer of this report that Mark gives us of an ancient leper, but that you will see your reflection in this man and this event. Mark is the Gospel of Mark is a fascinating study. It's a swift moving account of the life and ministry of Jesus, and one of the ways that Mark expresses that in a literary fashion is this continual use, which you may have noticed as we read this morning. There's a word that Mark repeats again and again. It's translated immediately, at once. And so, Mark is showing us in rapid succession the life and the ministry of Christ. And as we see Christ coming into his ministry, as he's baptized, as he's driven into the wilderness, he begins to preach the gospel. The kingdom of heaven, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he begins to minister. And the first ministry that we see past the household of Simon and Andrew is to the multitudes that gathered there, the multitudes of the city that gathered there at the house. Many who were ill, many who were demon-possessed, who all came to be healed or to have their demons exorcised by Jesus. And in contrast to the multitudes that gathered at the house of Simon and Andrew is this lone, solitary leper. I want you to see in that lone and solitary leper another contrast, a contrast between this defiled man with his ceremonial unclean condition and a holy Savior, a holy, undefiled, unblemished Savior of the world. We'll look at several things here today. First, the dreadful nature of the disease that Jesus cured. Secondly, the profound faith of the defiled leper, and then thirdly, Christ's compassion and power to cleanse sinners. The dreadful nature of the disease that Jesus cured, the profound faith of the defiled leper, and Christ's compassion and power to cleanse sinners. I want you to think with me first about the dreadful nature of this disease that Jesus cured. It had a physical dimension, and it had a social and a religious dimension. Leprosy is an infectious disease that causes severe, disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage in the arms, the legs, and the skin areas around the body. If untreated, The disease moves from the skin inward to the bones and rots the whole body, causing loss of limbs. If we were to take the time, we could find this disease described for us in the Pentateuch, in Leviticus and Numbers. We would see there description of the disease, the regulations connected with it. It was an awful disease. It was regarded as an awful punishment from the Lord. And not only did the leper suffer from the ravages of the disease itself, but he became unclean and unfit for society. He was separated from home and family, consigned to living apart from all of the blessings and all of the comforts of common life. Even if it was only suspected that a person had leprosy, he had to be quarantined. He had to be isolated for 2 weeks. In Bible times, no leper could live within a walled city, and so he was deprived of the security were he to live in a walled city. And wherever he lived, wherever he went, he was required to have his outer garment torn as a sign of deep grief, to go bareheaded, to cover his head with his mantle, as if in lamentation of his own death, and required to warn passerbyers to keep away from him, calling out, "Unclean, unclean." He couldn't speak to anyone, not even to render them a greeting, nor was he to receive one in return. And not only was he banished from society in general, but he was cut off from the congregation of Israel and the religious ordinances. He couldn't participate in temple worship. He couldn't participate in synagogue worship. There were few more horrible words to the ear of an Israelite than to be pronounced unclean. Now, lepers weren't isolated because of the contagiousness of the disease. Leprosy is not easily transmitted. That's clear from the Levitical law, the regulations concerning the law, but rather the one coming in contact with the leper would render himself ceremonially unclean simply by touching him. Can you imagine the humiliation and the isolation that one afflicted with this disease would have experienced? It would be the equivalent of not greeting, not shaking hands, not hugging friends, family, anyone. Can you imagine being restricted from entering the church building to worship among God's people? That's why the leper of Mark's ancient account wanted to be free from the disease. But he wanted perhaps even more to be freed from the stigma that was associated with the disease and the rejection in society and in the church. And that's why to hear a priest pronounce the word clean must have brought great relief, almost beyond description, to those who had the disease. Leprosy was the outward and visible sign of an inward and real spiritual corruption. It's a picture of the foul soul disease that's ingrained into our very nature and clings to our skin and our bones with a deadly force. That disease is the plague of sin, which, like leprosy, is deep, a deep-seated disease. It infects every part of our nature. It infects our heart, our will, our conscience, our understanding, our memory, our affections, everything about us. Like leprosy, sin makes us unfit to enter into the presence of a pure and holy God and commune with Him. Like leprosy, if untreated, it will so invade and overwhelm our soul as to drag us down to the second death, even into hell itself. You were born with this dread and deadly disease of soul leprosy. Have you come to know this? Have you come to understand the spiritual corruption of your soul, of your nature, in every aspect of your nature? Your mind, your affections, your will. Have you discovered your own sinfulness, guilt, and corruption? On the one hand, that's a dreadful discovery, isn't it? If you have been enabled by the Spirit of God, if God has done the work in your heart so that you see the terrifying condition of your soul, that's a dreadful thing. It's a dreadful thing to come face to face with that which will damn you to hell. But on the other hand, it's a great blessing. Because you remember that Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." When he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he meant blessed are those who have come to this understanding of their own sin and the terrifying condition of soul leprosy. For theirs, he says, is the kingdom of God. We've considered the dreadful nature of the leper's disease and the dreaded disease of the human soul it symbolizes. What is the cure for this soul leprosy? Leprosy was incurable back then. Now it's curable by means of an aggressive treatment with antibiotics. What's the cure for soul leprosy? What's the cure for those who are infected with this disease in the depths of their souls? I want you to see, secondly, the profound faith of this defiled leper, and in particular, his boldness, his humility, and his trust. He came up to Jesus. That's a remarkable thing considering his condition. This is a man that was isolated. He wasn't supposed to approach anybody for anything. He wasn't even supposed to greet others, but he came up to Jesus. That's what Mark's record tells us. If we compare him to the 10 lepers that Luke describes in chapter 17 of his gospel, they stood at a distance. They were reluctant to approach the Lord, but this man was so bold as to walk up to Jesus to speak to him. He must have heard something. He must have seen something. Maybe he stood at a distance from Peter and Andrew's home and saw what Jesus was doing, healing the multitudes, casting out demons. But he must have known something of the approachability of the Savior. But then you notice he came humbly. He came as a beggar. This word translated beseeching, imploring, or begging is frequently used in the Gospels by those who are seeking freedom from oppressive diseases or demons. He came to earnestly ask, to implore, to beg for mercy on his knees before Jesus. And then you notice, not only was this man bold and humble, but there was a deep trust associated with his boldness and his humility. He said to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." By these words, he acknowledged Christ's sovereign lordship. If you are willing, I can be cleansed. I will be cleansed. At the same time, they imply this leper's faith in Jesus' power. There's a trust in the Lord's ability and authority. And that's what faith is, you see. Faith is an act of submission to the lordship of Christ, his sovereign lordship. The look of faith is a look away from self to Christ. It's a recognition of one's utter unworthiness and utter helplessness to do anything to change your condition. We've seen the dreadful nature of this disease that Jesus cured. We've seen the profound faith of the defiled leper. Finally, I want you to see Christ's compassion and power to cleanse sinners. That's really the centerpiece, isn't it, of this text? In the first place, this account underlines, it underscores Jesus' compassion. When this man came pleading for help, we're told that Jesus was moved with compassion. Whether it was the crowds that he saw like sheep without a shepherd, downcast and undertrodden, or whether it was an individual leper, Christ's heart went out to sinners. Compassion moved Jesus to touch a loathsome and despicable leper. No one was untouchable to Jesus. And since to touch a leper was to become unclean, even a chance encounter with a leper would make one unclean. To voluntarily touch a leper was an incredible thing to do. He wanted to heal the man, but he could have healed him without laying a finger on him. He could have simply said, "Be healed." But instead, he touched him. And by touching him, he was really saying to this leper, "I am prepared to become like you. By choice, I am prepared to become what you are by nature, a man under the judgment of the law, in order to give you what I have, freedom from sin and eternal life." But then secondly, I want you to notice that as in all the miracles that Jesus performed, here he was demonstrating the power of his kingdom. And by so doing, he was also demonstrating the way in which his kingdom comes. Through identifying with us in our sin and bearing the judgment of God's law against us, he became unclean for us, though he himself was clean. He became sin for us, although he was sinless, so that we might be cleansed and receive righteousness by which we might stand in the presence of God. And there's something especially appropriate about the fact that when the kingdom of God came, and when it came in power through Jesus Christ, lepers were healed and cleansed. Few things could more powerfully illustrate what Paul would later write about Jesus, Romans 8:3-4, for what the law was powerless to do, weak as it was, by the sinful nature, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The law was powerless to heal this leper. If a man was clean, ceremonially, the law wouldn't condemn him, in that respect at least. But if he was unclean, the law couldn't save him. Yet what the law was powerless to do, Jesus did. And by cleansing the leper, he demonstrated his power to forgive sin and save sinners. This man was immediately and completely healed and cleansed. That's confirmed by Mark's report here in verse 42. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Immediately he was healed and forgiven. And when a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, expresses faith in Jesus Christ, that's the immediacy of the forgiveness and cleansing that comes as a consequence of his or her faith. It's instantaneous. In one moment, that individual was as defiled could be, was under the wrath and curse of God due to sin, was living in a condition that was beyond help, and in the next moment, in the blink of an eye, when faith was expressed, that individual was as clean could be in the eyes of God. Now that's a remarkable thing. That is I don't think that we can possibly even conceptualize what a remarkable thing it is that the Savior touched a defiled leper to heal and cleanse him, to free him from sin. And to present him as holy before God. The pious Jew, were he to look upon this scene, someone who was conscious of ritual uncleanness, the uncleanness that was involved in this leper, to that person, to that Jew, this would be absolutely staggering. The whole of the gospel is encapsulated in this scene. Jesus was willing to be defiled so that the defiled leper could be made clean. Jesus, in all his purity, stooped to touch the untouchable in order to bring healing and forgiveness. And if it staggered the pious Jew, it should amaze you as well. We ought to bless God that the compassionate Savior with whom we have to do is almighty, that he's able to forgive sin and to cleanse us. No soul is so diseased that our great physician cannot heal it. No heart is so desperately sick and unclean that our great high priest cannot cleanse it. We ought never to think that salvation is out of reach for any soul. No one is an untouchable to the Savior. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you have persisted in your sinful condition. The worst of spiritual lepers can be healed by a compassionate and powerful Savior. Now, for some, the issue is recognizing their sin that made them unclean. Because some don't see that their sin is so bad, after all, that it would condemn them to hell. They don't understand that they need to be touched and cleansed by a Savior, made righteous by faith, in order to be accepted into God's presence. For others, the issue is believing that even the worst of sinners can be brought near to God by the blood of Christ. People are not lost because they're too defiled to be touched or cleansed by Jesus, or because he's so repulsed by their uncleanness that he shrinks back from them and will not touch them because he perceives the uncleanness of their sin to be too great for him to overcome. People are lost because they will not recognize their sin. And they will not come to Jesus by faith to be forgiven and to be healed by this compassionate and powerful Savior. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we bless your name for our Savior Jesus. We bless your name, O God, that you have given to us a great physician and a great high priest who is the cleanser of our souls. We acknowledge, O God, that we often exhibit the behavior of one who refuses to come to Christ when we sin, and we refuse to come to you. Because we think that what we have thought or said or done is so odious to you that you will be slow to forgive us. Forgive us, O God, for not acknowledging your mercy and your compassion, even for us who have been brought to the Savior. We pray that you enable any who have not come to a proper understanding of soul leprosy, that you would enable them, by the power of your Spirit, to see their fallen condition, to see the sinfulness of sin, to see that there's no hope and no help for them unless they look to Jesus by faith to be forgiven and cleansed from all their sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.